Hi guys, I hope you're having an amazing day. So this is Aryan and you are listening to Diaries That Speak, the podcast. I don't think I'm going to need any background music for this podcast because I am at a very peaceful place and you can hear birds actually chirping in the background if you're lucky enough. I don't have a mic, so I'm going to use my earphones for recording this. Yep. So firstly, let's brief you about what this podcast is about and what we are going to cover. So in Diaries That Speak, the podcast, we're going to read the poems that are going to be in my book, some of them, not all of them. And mind you, the poems might be a little bit shortened to keep in this podcast. We're going to decipher some parts of it, like why is this line here, what does this line signify, what was going on in my head, so I wrote this poem, and yeah, like things like that. And then I'm going to tell you my thought process behind any poem and what scene I am setting and how am I thinking about this poem in general. Yeah. Then I'm going to tell you some images that I've drawn in this poem, like not actually drawn, but like imagery that I've drawn in a poem and how that imagery came into being. And yeah, so this podcast is going to be totally unscripted. I hope that it's a lot of fun. I am not going to script anything or write a lot of things. I might have some notes on my iPad, but that's all. Yeah, so let's get started. So I'm going to give you a little bit of preface about poetry. So poetry is very, very subjective. It does not have one meaning. The poet has his own or her own meaning of the poetry, but in general, the reader who is reading the poetry is going to make what is the meaning out of it. It's totally up to you what you think this poetry means. In this podcast, I am going to give you the POV or point of view of what I as a poet was thinking when I was writing some poem. To give you some context, or I think this podcast is going to be a window in my brain. So I don't know how many people are interested in my brain, but I think that is the preface that I wanted to give you. That poetry for me is an art form. It's an expression of the self. Its meaning varies from people to people. It's very subjective. So I don't want to compel you into believing that, hey, this is the right meaning of my poetry or of my poem. You can always have your own meaning of my poem, and that's totally fine with me. Alright, so let's get to the poem. What is the first poem that I'm going to read? So this poem that I'm going to read for you today is the first poem in my collection. This is not the first poem that I wrote, but in my book, this is the first poem that you're going to read. It is quite recent, but it is on number one. And this poem, why did I choose this poem for the first episode? Because this is the first poem where I thought, okay, let's write something that's a little bit intimate, little bit like there's a little bit of sexy vibe going on in this poem, but also there's because it's my poem, there's a lot of sadness going on in this. Yeah, and it's a very cozy vibe sort of poem. Like you, when you're reading it, you feel like you're there. I love the image that is there in this poem. Yeah, so the setting of the poem, or let's explain the setting and things later. Let's get to the poem first. If you don't know what poem I'm talking about, the title is Azalea's Blush. Azalea's Blush is a poem that I wrote back in 2022 in probably winters, because it is a winter poem. Yeah, my poems are based on seasons and what I'm feeling, which is very obvious. Yeah, so Azalea's Blush. The setting is there are two men in a room. I'm not going to tell you who these two men are, what are their relationship with each other, which is not in this poem at all. I never signify this poem can totally be genderless. This poem is totally subjective, up to you what gender you want to give these. But there are two people in this poem. In my imagination, these are two men in the room. So it goes like, trembling fingers, trembling with caution, I reach out and touch them. Like brewing a potion in a devil's cauldron, in your arms, heavenly hell, I am condemned. So, trembling fingers, trembling with caution, I reach out and touch them. What is them? I never say what is them. You're going to learn very soon what is them. Like brewing a potion in a devil's cauldron, because these are two men. So I said devil's cauldron because, quote unquote, it is a sin or whatever. In your arms, heavenly hell. So what I say, what I mean is that even if this is hell, if this is hell, then this is way too heavenly to be hell. So that's why it's in heavenly hell. I am condemned because you get condemned to hell. Right. Not crimson, red like that of red wine. Pinker like azalea's morning blush. Yours inching towards me like a painting painted without paint or a paintbrush. Like a painting painted without paint or a paintbrush. One of my favorite lines ever from my poems. I can hear your heart pumping my blood. This line I got, I think I heard it somewhere about some other version of this line, but I really, really love this line. I can hear your heart pumping my blood. It signifies the kind of intimacy that these two people have with each other. And it is my favorite line of this poem. I can hear your heart pumping my blood. Mine calls your name in a twisted Morse code. So what I mean is that heartbeat is a Morse code here. And why it is a Morse code, I'm going to explain when I come to decipher about this poem. Your hair is pitch black, your eyes color of mud. You guess and pull away dramatically like an episode. So the other person is pulling away. So now you're getting an idea what is them. I touch them with caution. Them is okay. Let's get to what them is in a bit. You're wearing the same black tee I gave you. I'm wearing bed covers and your last night's scent. Okay. In rough forests of my heart, I hew. You speak in a dark, heavy, manly accent. So this other person is speaking in a dark, heavy, manly accent. I love you, quote unquote, is what the other person is speaking. And you smile. Azalea smiles. So the scene is that this one person went ahead and touched something of them. And then they inch towards each other. Then the other person pulls away in between. And then they say, I love you in a dark, heavenly, heavy, manly accent. I pull you closer the instant you do. Like I was waiting for your touch in a million aisles. For ages, this debt, this passion, you, quote unquote, you were you. This is where the twist of the poem comes in. Mine not azalea, but lysimachia. Azalea and lysimachia are both flowers, which we'll get to in a bit. Royal, darker. Diving deep in the pool of wrath and love and you. Knowing I might never see you after. Too deep without caring in love with you. This, the person who is narrating this poem is saying, knowing I might never see you after. Too deep without caring in love with you. As I said, there will be a tinge of sadness in my poem. So that is that sadness that this person might never see them after this. 2D without caring in love with you. And trembling lips mine touch yours with caution like a brewing potion in a devil's cauldron. In the end I answer, trembling lips mine touch yours with caution. So in the starting I was touching, or this person was touching their lips with caution, obviously. And you'll know soon why with caution. So let's get to the poem. Let's decipher it a little bit. Let's decipher why I thought of this poem. So, hardly ever written a poem that had two men in it. And I was always thinking, why do I keep avoiding this genre of poetry in general? So this was my first poem, probably, when I thought of writing about two male characters. Obviously, when you read it, you'll never know that both of them are male. I reach out and touch them. Them was lips in the starting when I say that. Devil's Cauldron, I already told you why I say that it's like a devil's cauldron, because it is a sin. But why cauldron? Cauldron because I feel like this poem is, to tell you the scene, this poem is from older times when it was even a bigger sin to love as a man to love another man. It was even much bigger sin than it is right now. It's not like it's not right now. It is for a lot of people, but older times it was much bigger sin. That's why I say it's a cauldron. But it's also cauldron because cauldrons are somehow associated with magic. So this feeling that these two people are having is magical, right? So why Azalea? What are Azalea and Lizzie Makia that I reveal in the end? So Azalea and Lizzie Makia's hair are flowers, as you might know. These are both flowers, and these are both signifying the both people's lips and their, in general, their personalities, right? So why Azalea and why Lizzie Makia, right? So Azalea is a flower that is very common. It's a flower that you might have heard. I am pretty sure out of Azalea and Lizzie Makia, you might have heard Azalea, not Lizzie Makia. Why it is so? Because Azalea is a common flower, but I don't choose the common color of Azalea. I choose morning blush. Azalea's morning blush. Why morning blush? It's because this other person, as I say in this line, I can hear your heart pumping my blood. Mine calls your name in a twisted Morse code. Why is there the term Morse code here? Because this other person that this person is with is in the army. It's or like a guard or anyone that knows Morse code. That is the point of using the word Morse code, because my heart is pumping, your name is Morse code. There's no point of pumping your name in Morse code if you can't understand it, if that person doesn't know Morse code. So that's why I say, like, this person is a common person. They are in guard, they are in army. And this other person whose lips are Lizzie Makia, I don't know, I'm not clear on the pronunciation. But those lips are Lizzie Makia because they are royal, they are darker. The blue-blooded people in general. So this setting then changes when you understand why Lizzie Makia and why Azalea are chosen to be here instead of any normal flowers, like just rosy lips or I don't know, daisy-like lips or anything I could have chosen. But why Azalea and Lizzie Makia? Because Lizzie Makia is royal, it's darker, they can't run away from their duties, which is why there's a line where I talk about in the forest of my heart, because the main narrator is a prince in this poem. So they're saying their heart is like a forest, because forests are very thick, you get lost in their forest, they get lost in their thoughts, because they cannot just turn away from their duties of being a prince and just go ahead and publicly date this guard, which is also a male in this poem. So that's why that person is that's why Lizzie Makia and Azalea are there to give you a meaning. So like in general, if I say that my poems have a lot of their metaphors or their meanings drawn from plants or flowers, is because like I am obsessed with them. I wrote a paper some time back about how to speak without words, as in speaking with flowers, like, because flowers have their own language, flowers have their own meaning. Every time you'll see in my poem when I'm using the name of a flower or writing about a flower, it will have its own significance. That is to say that the meaning or the significance of that flower in some culture. I draw a lot of significances, or I draw a lot of words and phrases from different cultures. Like maybe this flower in Japanese culture means something, or this flower in Chinese culture means something. So people who do know that language of flowers, or do know some random facts about some cultures, are going to enjoy my poem even more. But that doesn't mean that you need to know about these things. That's why this podcast is here, to explain some of the poems that when meaning is not very apparent, very on the surface. Yeah. So now that this makes sense, why do I say in the end that I might not see you after? In my brain, I think that this person is going to leave now. This guard that is there in bed with this prince is going to leave now because of a war. That is my brain. I think there's a war going on. I think this scene is between that war, because I can see that even in this scene, when that other person pulls away and says, "I love you," I think this person is trying to leave. The other person is trying to leave. And the narrator is still stopping them and trying to kiss them. But in the end, by the end, they touch, and it's a sin. That's the ending of it. "And trembling lips mine touch yours with caution, like a brewing potion in a devil's cauldron." In the end, I reveal that what they're touching is lips, and they are azalea and lysimachia. So yeah, I think this was this poem, and I am actually in love with this poem. It's not the complete poem. I have cut some parts of this poem. I'm not going to like explain every little word of this poem, but I needed to explain why azalea and lysimachia are flowers that are chosen for this poem, and why they're so special, and why this poem is the first poem in the collection. I think that's all I have to say about this poem. So I think that's it for the first episode. I don't think I have a lot of things that I need to speak about this poem. I needed to say about this podcast, I am hoping that this podcast reaches the right people who really enjoy poetry, people who want to read more poetry, people who want to understand poetry, especially from the point of view of a poet and how I think of a poem. Before I get to the ending, let's get to my brain and how this poem was written. It's a great anecdote. So how did I write this poem? So I wrote this poem when I was in my hometown, and there was nobody at home, and I was feeling this overwhelming feeling of guilt for something. I don't actually remember for what, but this poem comes out of guilt, is something that I very clearly remember. And I was scribbling on a page, and I just could not think of anything, and then I came across my old paper that I was talking about, the language of flowers one, and then I had this idea that, oh, what if I signify two people with flowers? Like, they are not two people, they are two flowers, azalea's blush and lysimachia. What if these are two flowers and these two people? So my brain went there, and I think I wrote this poem in about 5 minutes. It was too quick. I did not have to think a lot of it. I already had a basic idea once I had this, like, I don't know, like dimag ki batti chali ekdam se. Once I had this idea that I'm going to write two people and signify them with flowers, the poem was done like this. Yeah, I think that's all. So what can you expect from episode 2, and when will it be out? So episode 2, I'm not sure when will it be out. I am hoping it will be out sometime in this week itself. I don't need to prep a lot for these episodes, but I'm thinking there will be some editing in this whatever video I have made, and then the audio podcast will be out on Spotify. You can check out on Spotify. I'm going to link them in the description, the Spotify. And yeah, I think that's all. It will be out sometime in this week. You can expect something of similar sorts from the episode 2. And the poem that we'll be covering is "A Snake and a Dove." It's one of those poems that I that is a bit triggering if you know the meaning of it. Otherwise, it seems like a very normal poem. So I really think that anyone who can hear this poem and the true meaning of this poem, it will be amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening to this podcast. Or if you're watching it, even more thank you, because I don't expect you to do so much. Thank you so much. Take care. Have fun.